Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ and Lions, WEEI, 617-779-7937. That's also the text line. That's Alex Cora talking about the trials and tribulations right now of Alex Bregman. And John, the whole reason why you got Alex Bregman is because of what he is a monster at the end of the year, August, September, October. And it's nothing close to that right now.
And I think, too, when you signed him, the whole point was, well, we need another vet that's won a World Series that, to, like you said, will be here in September so you don't have to rely on the young guys. And what we've seen in the first half of September, and going into last night, they were 7-8 in September. We've seen they've relied so much on the young guys that when Anthony went down, and then it was Narvaez, Rafaela, those guys are struggling. Duran is having a good year, but not as good as last year. With Bregman struggling at the same time, your lineup really lost all its teeth. And then so for not just Duran to have that huge home run last night, which, again, will go down as the biggest swing of the year if they end up making the playoffs, but for Bregman to hopefully kind of bust out of this slump as well, I think that could be even a bigger deal over this next week or so as they try to get in the playoffs.
Listen how bad it is for him. Over his last 7 days, 4 hits, 174 average. Last 2 weeks.
Honestly, that's better than I thought it was.
Yeah, well, because it happened.
I'm not even trying to be like a jerk. Like, it's just that's how much he was struggling.
That's because it was yesterday. Like, but 3 of those hits are like yesterday. 9 hits over 14 days, 16 hits over 28 days, a 162 average over the last 28 days. And this is what's absolutely crazy of Bregman. And this is why I think Breslow's kind of like, okay, anybody, any other year, you would have already given Bregman his money. His biggest months in his career for hits, runs, home runs are all August or the combination of September, October. I mean, it's not even close. But for example, his biggest month for RBIs, 158 in the month of August. Number 2 is September, October, 140. The next number is May at 122. So
huge gap.
That is huge. So when this guy, his batting average for his career in the month of August alone, 323, 255 for September, October. And that's fair because once you get into October.
The playoffs, everybody hits worse.
Yeah. Everybody's worse. You're getting the best of the best. So I'm not even holding my hat onto that. It's just that 168 is a long ways away from 255.
So I
wonder if this is at play. Remember, what was one of the first things that you heard about with Bregman as he was coming back from his injury? Was that back in July or late June?
Yeah, it was earliest July, right?
July was that he was ready to talk a contract extension.
Yeah.
And at the time I said, not right now, because things were kind of falling. You remember the sky was kind of falling a little bit during that time.
Yeah, that was when Bueller, remember, had such that bad month of June.
Yeah, Bueller, it was just kind of like, how do you like, kind of like Richard Nixon, the fourth inning of the Walker Bueller tape, right? You know, it's just like, one, two, three, and then just erase that fourth inning, and then let's continue, right? So you had all those issues at the time, and he was ready to renegotiate, which it was like, hey, you know, with everything going on, Bregman is probably the one source. And at the time, I was just like, nah, wait until see if Bregman can do that little, you know, the little meme stick, do something. Let's see if he can little do something with the stick in August, September, because this is why you go get him. And I do wonder if some of that is playing into what's not happening at the plate. And it shouldn't, because this is the this is how he would be able to get the deal, just by showing, like, if he's hitting 220, over these last 28
days. You probably have another win as well.
I'd say two or three wins. And now, instead of saying, hey, we need to make the super push for this wild card situation, you might be resting a couple of guys because you probably feel like you might be the number one wild card spot as you were just a couple of weeks ago. And I would say this is where guys would need rest. These young guys need rest. Now there's not going to be any rest for the weary.
Yeah, and I think, too, you'd be able to exhale a little bit, right?
Yep.
At this, because even last is great. Like, last night they win. I already mentioned that Durant swing, how important it was. And last night felt great, but the pressure is still on because it feels like the Cleveland Guardians are never going to lose again. Like, they're just starting a doubleheader, actually, right? I think it's a 2:10 first pitch, so they just started a doubleheader today.
It's already 6-0.
Yeah, right. Feels like it might as well be, right? So, but the pressure is still going to be like the Reds. It's not like, okay, you won last night and now you can exhale. It's okay, you won last night. That's awesome. You got to win at least one out of these next two, if not both, because you got to go to Toronto. And I feel like Detroit next weekend, because the Guardians have closed the gap so much, Detroit might be playing to win the division next weekend. They might be going all up because Detroit and Cleveland play, I think, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday coming up. What if Cleveland takes two out of those three and gains a game on Detroit or even, say, sweeps them?
That's exactly right.
Then all of a sudden, Detroit's coming into Fenway, giving it all they got because they need to win the division.
Right. Detroit's lost four in a row. I think Detroit's lost four.
And Detroit's had some weird stretches. Remember, like, in August, didn't they lose 12 out of 13 or something? Like, they've done that a couple times this year where they've gotten into these bad stretches. And right now, it's costing them a huge lead in the AL Central.
It was them last year. Remember there was talk of, like, maybe they moved Tarik Skrubel
sold at the deadline but still made the playoffs because they were all over the place.
They went on a run. And so they have that confidence that this can still happen. Where, let's say, if you're the Guardians, you're like, this is really good. We're playing a doubleheader in Minnesota where the fans don't care. It's going to be an empty mausoleum. That's why I say tonight's game for the Red Sox, because you're the Red Sox. You got to wait till 7:00 to play.
Yeah,
the Guardians could all be, you know,
could be one game out when you throw the first pitch,
half game out when you right because.
I mean, theoretically, couldn't the Guardians, if they win both and the Red Sox lose, they'd be in a tie, right?
It'd be in a statistical tie, but there would be
But point is, they'd be right there.
Right. The point is, now it isn't even about the Red Sox, playing 500 ball, because all things are even. That's why I say the Red Sox, they've got to win at least four games of these next eight, just so that way, if everything goes the way that it is going right now with everything else, the Red Sox would win that final wild card spot by about a game.
And you got to really hope Detroit takes two out of three from Cleveland or sweeps them and sews up that division in that series, and then they'll take their foot off the gas next weekend.
Right, because what the Red Sox may find themselves in is Seattle and Houston fighting for division, and whoever loses will get a wild card
spot. And you wonder, too, even like, all right, that Detroit's, and not to look too far ahead, but that Detroit series
next
week.
Not far ahead.
Well, fair enough. But even if Detroit has it clinched, you know how in the last few years, teams that have that bye through the wild card round, some of the, like last year, the Yankees and the Dodgers both survived it and they made the World Series. But remember the year before where everyone that had that bye lost early?
Baltimore was one of them.
Yeah, the Dodgers were actually 1-23. They lost the Diamondbacks. Like, I think teams are still figuring out how they want to manage that area. And I bring that up because maybe Detroit says, hey, we're going to have a bye, so let's go all out at Fenway Park to end the year so we don't have, 10 days of us relaxing. It's only just a few games, and then we're back in it for the ALDS. So either way, you could end up with a Detroit team going all out in that series next week. So you really don't want to get to that series thinking, oh, my God, we have to take two out of three or we're going to miss the playoffs.
Well, the other side of that is Toronto is just not so far ahead of the Yankees and the Red Sox that they can just shut things down.
Right.
So if you're Toronto, you're like, why would we do the Yankees and Red Sox any favors by resting our guys? And like you mentioned, I don't think Detroit rests any of their people, because I think part of the learning lesson for this team is, hey, you didn't take any games off last year to get to the playoffs.
That's true. Yeah.
So why would we start doing that now? We are not that team. Now, if they were in a winning streak right now instead of a losing streak, I might have a different approach to that.
Detroit even has an outside shot at home field advantage, right? Like, Toronto's at 89 wins, Detroit's at 85. But, like, if you're Detroit, like, let's say the Red Sox take 2 out of 3 from Toronto. Detroit takes 2 out of 3 from Cleveland. Even if they have the division sewn up, they might be within a game or two of Toronto to try to get home field. So I feel like...
And you take Toronto out of their dome and make them play outside in Detroit when weather. I mean, you're going to see
Toronto has a losing record on the road this year.
Yeah, so
they're 50-25 at home, and they have a losing record on the road.
Yeah, so if you have an opportunity to get Toronto out of that number one spot in home field advantage in Detroit, which the weather is going to play a factor, get them into that cold weather, outdoors, night games, it's going to be tough for anybody except for probably Boston, right? So that's the other part is if everything is really on today. I mean, I hate to say that because if Cleveland wins back, if they win this doubleheader against Minnesota, which is a real possibility. Remember, that game last night was 2-2 at one point, and they ran away with it. I think they ended up winning it like 6 or 7-2.
Yeah, because we always say, like, and we always add the caveat, like, hey, it's 1 out of 162, right? But, like, this could end up being the most pivotal weekend of the season. And if you had to pick one day, today could be it. Because let's just say Cleveland loses both and the Red Sox win today. Well, then all of a sudden you got some breathing room. But if Cleveland wins both and you lose, or even if Cleveland splits and you lose, like all of a sudden it's right there and you're going into a stretch where, sure, one more game against Tampa tomorrow, but then Toronto and Detroit next week. So again, it's...
Or the other one we're not even talking about. If Cleveland wins both today and the Red Sox win one, Cleveland still gains
They still
ground.
Gain a half game. Yeah. So that's where I think you're right. And like, because we always had that 1 of 162, but today... is I think you can make a real case if the single most important day of the season so far, given that Cleveland is also in a doubleheader.
617-779-7937. It is KJ and Lyons on WEEI. We'll get to your text and your calls here shortly. Next, we've got to get into the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for Bill Parcells. And I have a personal story regarding Bill Parcells, as well as Julian Edelman. But right now, it's time to trend with Thomas Crisafulli.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox bats came alive in the 8th for a 7-run inning that propelled the Sox to an 11-7 victory over the Rays last night. Crochet went 6 full, allowing 3 earned runs while striking out 9 batters. Here's what Alex Cora had to say about Garrett Crochet after the game.
He battled through it, you know, gave a 6, you know, and, you know, they... hit 2 fly balls to right field. They went out of ballpark. Obviously, Yandy, you know, he's a real good hitter. But then he kind of like settled down and gave us what we needed.
With this win and the Astros losing last night, the Sox are now tied for the second wild card spot with the Astros. The Sox also kept their 1.5 game lead over the Guardians for an AL wild card spot. Cleveland also won last night to keep the pressure on the Sox, as Cleveland is 9-1 in their last 10 games. The Sox are back in action today for another must-win game against Tampa. Coverage starts on WEEI at 6:05 with the Mass Mutual pregame show with our good friend Joe Weil. And as always, you can listen to the game right here on WEEI, the Shaw's and Star Market, Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kyle Harrison is on the mound for your Boston Red Sox, the 7:05 first pitch. And the Patriots are set for their Week 3 matchup tomorrow against Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. But today, both Julian Edelman and Bill Parcells will be putting on their red jackets and getting inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame this afternoon. I'm Tom Crisafulli. I'm out to trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, how times have changed. WEEI, KJ and Lyons here on your Saturday, 617-779-7937.
I'd bring back Parcells to draft for the Patriots now.
Oh, my gosh.
Just say.
Well, here's the great thing, because what you just heard there, if you hadn't seen the Dynasty, that's Parcells reliving what had happened that would lead to a decade split between his relationship with the organization and where we are today, which is a great story of forgiveness, right? Time, we hear, what does it say? Time heals all wounds?
Yeah.
It goes back to, and I don't know if I ever told you the story, John, but here's the story that everybody knows, and here's from what I know from a personal level and how it turned out to be right and how Parcells was also right at the time. So, of course, you remember Parcells drafts Christian Peter from Nebraska. It causes a stir.
Was that 95? I'd have to double check.
It's like,
I remember the story. Yeah.
Right, because Christian's a year younger than that. Christian Peter and I grew up together. And so when he was drafted in that sixth round, the other part is where we grew up in New Jersey, Parcells had always been there. So he knew the lay of the land. Our high school team was a state champion. The crazy thing about the Peter brothers, especially Christian was an offensive lineman in high school and then moved to a D tackle in a 3-4. Now, there are things that I know that help you get to that size to do those things. But Myra Kraft, the late Myra Kraft, I think that's, forgive me if I'm wrong, was really, really upset because of the stuff of Christian Peter's past had come out after he'd been drafted. Of course, Parcells makes the comment of, why allow me to shop for the groceries and not allow me to cook for the most part, or whatever it was. The idea was. The reason why Peter was taken and Christian was taken in such a low round number was because of some of the character issues, right? If you said no character issues at Nebraska at that time, Christian probably would have been a second rounder, third rounder at the latest. I think he ended up going sixth, but he wasn't a sixth round guy. This was going to be a steal.
And we saw shades of that, you know, in the decades following where they would do that under Belichick sometimes.
Like,
the guy that should have been a second round pick but fell to the sixth or seventh, drops. They'd take a chance on, yeah.
So here's where Myra Kraft was absolutely right, is because of the receipts that we would see later of some of the other people that came out of that Nebraska program at the time. If you remember at the time, Christian had been brought up on charges for allegedly sexually assaulting, I think it was Miss Teenage Oklahoma at the time. And so there was a reputation eventually, if you remember, Tom Osborne would eventually leave Nebraska because of the noise of a lack of institutional control. Lawrence Phillips is kind of the face of that. I really believe that had Kraft not cut Peter, I don't know if Christian would be a free man today. Just some of the things that were going on at that time. So the right thing was made at that time. But Parcells was also correct because he knew more about this player than just what had happened at Nebraska and possibly could have been the guy that got to him. If there's any proof that Christian's life is fine, he's working in the family business, he did get a chance to play in the NFL. I think he was in Chicago for a little bit with the Giants for a quick second. So there were things that was the genesis of the disconnect between Parcells and with Kraft, I believe, because you heard him just talking about, like, when they took the draft away from me. It was also one of those situations where it's like, okay, there's just been a situation where you drafted somebody that we're talking about a sixth rounder on the
front
page of the
Boston
Globe.
So if they don't take the draft away from him, do you think he stays and they win a Super Bowl eventually with him?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because, I mean, you look at it, right? So, and I talked about this with Ken and Curtis when I was on there earlier.
Yeah, I was here. They just didn't bring me in.
You can look at it like, all right, the way he left and talking to the Jets during the playoffs, like, totally inappropriate, not cool. But you look at the foundation he laid. Like, you look at that 2001 team, like, whether it was, you know, guys like Ty Law, Teddy Bruschi, Ted Johnson, like, those were Parcells draft picks that were brought here by him that kind of grew up in the system. He got to a Super Bowl with Drew Bledsoe. And, oh, by the way, I know Parcells was distracted maybe during that Super Bowl week or people were frustrated by it. I mean, Bledsoe was the one who threw, what, 3-4 interceptions in that Super Bowl? That didn't help either. So you wonder if he doesn't get the draft taken away from him, do they, A, subsequently draft better in his remaining time, but do they win a Super Bowl and this whole thing looks different? Like, maybe they win a Super Bowl in the late 90s or in the early 2000s, but there's no Belichick, there's no Brady, so you don't have this. It's just interesting to think, like, how that would have played out.
Well, now here's what's crazy. You probably get Belichick right? Because if you go to what would then later happen, right?
Because yeah. Bill was on that 96 staff.
Yeah. Right. Parcells goes to the Jets. He leaves the Jets. It's supposed to be Belichick's job. Belichick reneges in the middle of the night. Well, Belichick already had an existing relationship up the chain, right? So I still think Belichick would have been here. What you would have seen would have been probably the closest of a replication of the 86 Giants. This is a now tell my age a little bit. The 86 Giants came along and slowed down what the 85 Bears were and were a pebble in the shoe for what the 49ers would become, right? The 49ers, obviously the team of the 80s, but if there's a pebble in the shoe for the 49ers, it was the New York Giants and Bill Parcells.
Yeah, and then they won again, what, in 90?
In 90, yeah. Right. And to me, that game against San Francisco to get them to that Super Bowl in 90 was one of one of the greatest jobs I've seen Parcells and Belichick do together as a unit. If you have a chance to go look at it, go watch that game again, because that's the game that many believe that Belichick is a guy who's going to be the next one of these next great coaches, because their ability to slow down San Francisco, right? That whole beating, you know, taking
and
away.
And you wonder
what
if the
best.
Patriots, if Parcells never gets the draft taken away from him and he stays, is that kind of what the Patriots become, right? They win a Super Bowl, maybe 3-4 years later win another, and it's like that's what it is, instead of like, hey, you have Pete Carroll for a few years, Belichick comes back, you get Brady, you start winning all the time. And that's why I think he's worthy of being in the Hall of Fame.
The real question would be, would there have been a drafting of Tom Brady?
Probably not.
If he's still here, and I would say no, right? Because if Bledsoe's your guy, that's your guy. Even when the depth chart came out, it didn't even look like Brady was going to be the person that was going to usurp. So I don't even know if Brady gets paid attention to the way that he was paid attention to by Belichick.
Because you think about it too, like, I think if Parcells stays and he gets to keep drafting, by 2000 when Brady was drafted, they very well could have already won a Super Bowl with Drew.
Right.
So then it's a totally different conversation. But that's why I think, to me, I know the split was acrimonious. And I know you can say, hey, he was a 500 coach in the regular season and he only won a couple playoff games. But you look at where they were when he took over to where they were when he left, and then you can kind of add a postscript to that of that 0-1 team having multiple guys he brought in. I think that's where it comes in, where he's deserving of being in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Well, the other side of that is, I mean, gosh, how many to get to five different head coaches for the Patriots? How many years do you have to go back? Let's eliminate Mayo, and
you have to go back to
Vrabel.
Parcells, actually, if
right?
Because I'm not counting.
It's not
Vrabel.
Even five.
You go to Mayo, Belichick, right? Carroll,
not
Parcells,
even,
right?
Let's take those two guys out. Let's just start with Belichick. Belichick, Pete Carroll, Parcells, Ron Myers in there. So yeah. You see what
so
I'm saying?
McPherson,
so
one of those.
McPherson,
years too? Yeah.
Right? So once you we're getting back to the early John Hanna days. If you go back five head coaches. If you go back from Belichick, because Belichick is only 2 years removed, right? Not even two full years removed. So the argument of saying, well, he only won X amount of games. Well, how many coaches have been around here to play the situation
he took over? Like, they were the worst franchise in the NFL when he took over. Like, their games weren't even on TV half the time around.
He was stability.
Yeah, and he brought instant credibility. And it wasn't just like, oh, they hired this guy and he brought credibility. They got better and then made it to a Super Bowl, right? It's not like they hired him and they just went 8-8 every year or 9-7, which was better than what it had been. No, like, they were on to something and they were building something there. And again, the split was acrimonious, but I think when you look at what it was like when he got here, what it was like when he left, and then the foundation he laid for 01, that's where I look at it and I say, yeah, that dude's worthy of being in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
And the other part of it, I think, with Parcells, you have to remember, for those who remember, what, 85 to 97? So there's like this 12-year period where the Patriots are in the Super Bowl. They just get run through by Chicago. And then just this dormant dead period, yeah, which you just talked about. Well, where
1-15, one of those
right,
years, like
right,
2-14.
Four quarterbacks with Wilson and Flutie here. It was just an absolute mess. So when Parcells comes, it's like, oh, wow, we have a team that, because before 85,
yeah, we have
Patriots
a real head coach
to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know,
right. So Parcells is the guy that says this franchise is going to the Super Bowl again. Now, granted, it wasn't You still got the same result, but you didn't get, I mean, well, it was painful to see the kick return. We guys were talking about Desmond. It's funny. It's kind of crazy. This kind of side note, you, when you think of Super Bowls, do you think of like these different places you were, like when you were watching this Super Bowl? Here I am. I'm like in Winston-Salem, North Carolina with some random girlfriend who's making, it's the first time I ever had spaghetti with pepperoni put inside the meat sauce. It was pretty good, but it was that Super Bowl. And I was just remember thinking like, I hate Brett Favre.
Yeah,
I really
that was the
see
first Super Bowl like I remember because I was a kid then. And
yeah, I was I was already into my debauchery of adult years.
Which you still are, but I look at like that to me is why Parcells is deserving. It wasn't like he didn't come here and win Super Bowls per se, but he did lay that whereas Edelman, you look at Edelman, he was a key cog in multiple teams that won Super Bowls, and he was a key part of those actual Super Bowl games themselves. So like both guys are deserving. It's just kind of different reasons for both, because different scenarios too.
So normally I have all this production for all this stuff, and there's called a Hall of Fame court. I think we've talked about it off air, but we're not going to do Hall of Fame court because it leads me to Edelman. Clearly Edelman is first ballot. I mean, I'm surprised it already hasn't happened that he's already isn't in the Ring of Fame. But is he a Pro Football Hall of Famer?
Yeah, that's fascinating too. Cause like you look at, he was in the league in 2009, but he didn't become a major part of their offense till Wes Welker left, right? So 2013. And in that span from 2013 to 2020, and remember, he missed 2017 with the torn ACL. So it's really, what, 6.5 years because he got hurt in 2020? In 89 games, he had 551 catches and 6,100 yards. Like, he put up huge numbers in his playoff career. I mean, he had 1,400 yards, KJ, in 19 career playoff games. Like, that's... and those Super Bowls, like, I mean, obviously we all remember that catch in the Falcons game, the bounce. Right. He wins Super Bowl MVP against the Rams. But how about against the Seahawks? An all-time great defense. He has 9 catches, 109 yards, and the game-winning touchdown.
So what you were talking about with Parcells with this team is also Edelman to the story of the NFL through the mid-2000s, which is impact, right? Like, Parcells didn't have a bunch of wins, but he had an impact with this team. I think the same with Julian Edelman, but there's only literally when I started digging around, I'm like, what is it? Because I know there are historical guys that came before him that had less catches. I was like, I know the yards are going to is not what's going to put him in. And that you just explained that, right? Because with Wes Welker here, you're not amassing the yards, but he amassed a ton of catches and a ton of yards after that. It's only one thing that's keeping him out of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. What do you think that is?
I'd probably say he was never an all-pro, right?
Exactly it. So I use two comps from, I think, a similar situation that Edelman comes from, and this is why I believe he is going, that I think eventually as time goes on, he will make it into the Hall of Fame. Lynn Swann, John Stallworth of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, both of them play for a dominant team. Yeah. Obviously, the quarterback
won multiple Super Bowls.
Super Bowls. And so I said, okay, the first thing I know about Lynn Swann is that he had a shortened career. So I was like, well, let me look at Swann and Edelman because it's going to put them in that same category. Championships, Swann 4, Edelman 3. Pro Bowls 3 for Swann, none for Edelman. 3 All-Pros for Swann, none for Edelman. Both of them were Super Bowl MVPs. So I said, okay, well, then the clear difference is the Pro Bowls and the All-Pro naming, right? Then you get to John Stallworth, who's less prolific than Lynn Swann was on those teams. 30 more games than Edelman. Edelman has 90 more catches.
And that's where, too, you think back to, like, if Edelman doesn't get hurt in 2017 and he plays on that team, A, they probably beat the Eagles in that Super Bowl, but B, more importantly, some of these numbers are a lot close. Like John Stallworth has what, 1,800 more yards than Edelman or whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
He's in the 8,000, right?
In 30 more games. Like, that's a huge difference.
Well, again, and the other part, Stallworth, I do remember this as in my youth. Stallworth and Ling were both go deep guys. So they had a lot of chunk plays during their career. But here's interesting, 4 championships for Stallworth, just like with Swann, 3 for Edelman. 3 Pro Bowls for Stallworth, 1 All-Pro, no Pro Bowls or no All-Pros for Edelman. Edelman is Super Bowl MVP. Stallworth was never a Super Bowl MVP. So even if you look at like Hal Carmichael, Fred Biletnikoff have less receptions than Edelman, but they are in the Hall of Fame. I think you start getting into the errors that you're in where they're a heavier run error. But this is what I found absolutely fascinating, John, and I don't look for this stuff. Julian Edelman is 91st all-time in catches. Do you know who is 90th?
Rob Gronkowski.
Do you know who is 92nd?
No.
Danny Amendola. And this is what muddies, I think, the water.
I would not look at Amendola as a Hall of Fame. Good player, but not. And maybe the durability factor, because I know Edelman missed the 1 year with the torn ACL, but it felt like there was always some injury issues with Amendola. And the playoff, like he was really good in the playoffs, but I think you could even make the case Edelman was a little more impactful in the playoffs. I mean, they both were, so it's
Edelman and Amendola are not on the same page. But then you say, hey, Gronk as a tight end, clearly Hall of Fame. Like tight end is like the second baseman in Hall of Fame baseball, right? Like,
and I also think too, like you look at the time period Edelman played, like, okay, he didn't make any all-pro teams, but that was when there was prime Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson was still in the league. Odell Beckham had some great years. Like, I mean,
Larry Fitzgerald.
Well,
I'm just even thinking from the
AFC.
Like,
those guys, but those guys were so good. Like, those guys are all Hall of Famer. Like, Julio Jones is a Hall of Famer. Calvin Johnson's a Hall of Famer, right? Like,
yeah, because Julio Jones was in Tennessee at that.
You're still in Atlanta then.
No, yeah. Okay, so who's in the AFC at that time that's such a great receiver that's bumping Edelman off of the All-Pro list?
Well, the All-Pro is just the whole NFL. Not like the Pro Bowl is AFC, NFC.
Okay, well, but he's not even, or even Pro Bowl, because All-Pro is one thing, and he wasn't even named to a Pro Bowl.
Beckham was in the AFC for a little while, but
But I'm just thinking, like, who are the ones that said, okay, Edelman
AJ
is
Green,
not
I guess. Like, he was one, I guess, that was knocking him off.
AJ Green in Cincinnati. Keenan Allen would probably be another one that was knocking him off.
Yeah, he was there all the time, like Pro Bowl type years.
Right. So,
but we are talking about guys that are Hall of, like, the All Pro, like Julio Jones, a Hall of Famer, Larry Fitzgerald, these guys are Hall of Famers.
Larry
Fitzgerald
is just a whole other beef. I mean, we're talking about like 12,000
yards.
But
if they're knocking him off, then it's like, all right, he's not getting on the All Pro team, but the other guys are actual legitimate Hall of Famers too.
All right, KJ and Lions, we wrap it up next. We got Brad Foe coming up at 3:00, leading us into the important game with the Red Sox and the Rays.
They should be the Devil Rays.
They should be the Devil. Well, they're playing the Devil's Advocate right now. So we'll get to your call and text next as well. 617-779-7937 here on WE.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KJ in line on WEEI. Thank you so much for spending your last 3 hours with us, or the last 3 minutes. Either way, you can rewind the show. The Odyssey app is free. Just type in WEEI and go ahead and click that little heart. So that way, if you need to get to a Red Sox game real quick or so forth, remember the Red Sox games are available only locally. So when you have the app, make sure you're using it locally.
Oh, you mean like next Friday night when they're going to be on Apple Plus in the biggest series of the season?
You have Apple Plus though?
So I do. So I will be able to see, but I just think it's so stupid the way.
Are you bitching and moaning or bitching and moaning for the people?
More for the people, because I just think it's stupid.
You're a man. Well, but here's the thing though. With Major League Baseball, again, and this is what I was saying earlier in the show, it's probably been about 2 hours ago. You know, they have a responsibility to try and push their biggest teams forward. And I know that Apple's probably like, you know, do we want to show the Brewers and Royals?
But are they really pushing the biggest team forward when you have to like go on a streaming service just to find it? Like,
yeah, but look where everybody look where quote unquote everybody is,
and they're gonna keep doing it because they're gonna make money. I know. I just wish eventually I feel like there's gonna be a breaking point.
Well, the way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised if Jerry Jones doesn't buy up all the TV stations in Dallas pretty soon. Be like, hey, I could just buy these TV stations, say something bad about my team.
That's true.
Pale, you know. So
yeah, I should buy a TV station.
You know what? I know a few for sale.
Okay.
I would probably tell you the negatives of them. You know, like, hey, bro, there are not enough used car dealerships in this town to help pay for your Oprah licensing at 4 p.m. So
that's
okay. I don't know. You don't know this. I actually started in television. You didn't know that.
I actually think I did know that.
Okay. Yeah. I did started in television and as a sophomore in college was nominated for an Emmy.
Yes, I knew the story. I did know the story. Okay, I've never been nominated for an Emmy.
Don't worry about that. Okay. I mean, you get paid like an Emmy winner. I get paid a nominee. I get paid like a nominee.
Okay. All right.
Patriots, thank you so much to our buddy Chris Mack in Pittsburgh at our Odyssey properties there. Joined us to talk about the Pittsburgh perspective. And, you know, John, when I came away from that conversation with Chris Mack, it was just like, gosh, this game is like almost like you could pick it either way. And literally the Patriots are 1.5-point dog. That sounds about right.
Yeah, I could see that because, like, the Patriots, again, it was a nice win last week. I was excited. We were all excited. But they did miss two extra points. They did have 12 penalties. The Dolphins are really bad. So I can see Pittsburgh being a slight favorite in this game. Like to me, that pregame line does make sense. Now, these Pittsburgh defensive injuries, right, Highsmith, Joey Porter, you know, to me, that changes it a little bit. But right. I wasn't shocked to see them as a favorite.
I want the Patriots to win tomorrow. I think it's literally one of those. It's almost a pick 'em, if you will. And I would say, hey, if this is about the growth of the Patriots and they win this game tomorrow, this could be one of those games that you point to. You're like, yeah, things started to turn around during that Steelers game when the Steelers came to town with Aaron Rodgers. These are those games, right? Because when they beat the Steelers in 2023, it was Bailey Zappe against Mitch Trubisky. That screams future of nothing. So
I was glad I was up till 2 a.m. doing the post game for that game. I actually had a lot of fun. I love doing Patriots post game, but yeah, that game was an interesting one.
So when's the next time you're here? Because I don't know yet.
It's going to be in October. I don't know yet though.
Are you sure about that?
That's true.
You know, we also discovered today is off air. Like, I don't know, Thomas, maybe you can tell me this later on. If people have asked me to request this kind of blackmail text message I got from Chris Mack, we found out. Used to work with Ken Laird in Pittsburgh and that they're cool. And then he sent me an off-air text about this one job that Ken used to have to do, but didn't say it on the air because he didn't want to put Ken in particularly an uncomfortable spot. And I'm thinking, that's what I'm here for, right? Because we're going to make this entertainment, you know?
Find the man!
So should I release? Should I say it or should I hold on?
I think you should save it for the next KJ
show. I should save it. So the next time I'm here, you know the next time I'm here? Next Saturday, Red Sox review. I think it's my first Red Sox review for the entire season, and I used to do them all the time.
Yeah, actually, I feel like I haven't done too many. Because you know why? The king of Red Sox review, Joe Weil, has been doing them all.
Oh, I thought it was because of some other things involving my character and the way I run my mouth.
No, I think
about
it's
things.
More about, you know, Arcan and Joe Weil, a.k.a. pregame, postgame, King
Joe
Weil. Yeah,
fair enough. A lot of those also, you know, things like, well, we're not going to pay for someone to be here at 10 o'clock at night. Someone different. Just, Arcan, bring your lunch.
that's true, too. I prefer to give Joe Weil credit, though.
Oh, man. Give me a score for tomorrow's Patriots-Steelers game.
28-24.
Oh, I think that number's too high. I say Patriots win 21-17. I believe the Patriots defense will be able to confuse Rodgers a little bit and be able to contain DK Metcalf trying to go unprotected down the yard, down the field for 50 yards. Wouldn't it not be embarrassing if DK Metcalf gets loose for 50 yards again, literally almost a year to the date?
Yeah, almost an exact year to the date.
All right, so thank you so much for spending your time with KJ and Lions. Remember the Odyssey app. You can listen anytime. We'll let you know when we'll be back. Until then, enjoy and go Sox! Today's the day! Die, Cleveland, die!
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.